Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have Dr. Travis Yates, retired as a major with the Tulsa Police Department, and he's been loving life ever since. So, anyhow, welcome to the show, Doctor. Also, Jeff Nicholas with Complianttechnologies.com. You guys know the drill. You know, they've got a ton of products, but, you know, my favorite, and I think the crowd favorite, is the glove. And we're going to be talking more about that, you know, later. Also, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you, including Jeff's company, Compliant Technologies. We have Gauls, our title sponsor at Gauls.com, Complianttechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And thanks to Jeff and his company, we've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. And we haven't looked back. It's been a great experience and a great ride. Also, ArrowPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And, you know, thanks to them, we're streaming to over 1 million people right now that are followers on the live show. So great opportunity. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You can go there to get cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing. And the prices are dirt cheap. We don't make a dime off of anything we sell. We're just trying to get our stuff out there. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. You know, Zach has got a fishing charter and where else but near Disney in Orlando. So next time you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney World, give them the credit card or a lot of cash because, you know, you're going to need it there. And hook up with Zach. Do the bass fishing charter at FishOrlandoBass.com. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, like I'm looking at Travis and Jeff would probably be a good on that alligator hunting option, you know, where you get to catch and relocate the Florida alligator, you know. I'd like to get a video of you guys pressing around one of those like freaking 10-foot gators. That would be pretty cool. But anyhow, FishOrlandoBass.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, FormerLawman.com with Ray Dietrich and our very own Travis Yates, his LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, our main topic, we have one main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. DOJ arrest 4 people, accusing them of planning to send off bombs around the Los Angeles area on New Year's Eve. Wow, DOJ is, this is not the Biden DOJ. This is the Trump DOJ. They're getting it done. We have a former D.C. police chief allegedly pressured staff to downgrade crimes. Is that a shock since we've been hearing about the decrease in crime in D.C.? Also, suspect in 10 shootings in Detroit is hospitalized after being shot by police after a carjacking and a police chase. And then we got a guy fatally shot while armed with a gun after he attempts to carjack somebody. So, yeah, we got 2 carjackings in a row. Then we got 9,500 truck drivers removed as English checks and licensing audits expand nationwide. 9,500? Can you guys wrap your heads around that? 9,500 truckers that can't talk English? Then police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. And you would think by now we would have, you know, we wouldn't have cops being drugged by cars anymore. It's still happening. And then we got a Black Lives Matter leader indicted on fraud and money laundering. Who could have seen that one coming? And then armed suspect dies when he crashes into a house after shooting at deputies during a high-speed chase. Well, there was a little bit of a pit maneuver involved before he crashed into the house. Totally justified. Can't wait to talk about that one. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and jump into the first topic, which is the main topic. NBCNews.com, DOJ arrests 4 people accusing them of planning to send off bombs around the Los Angeles area on New Year's Eve. You know, with all the millions of people that have come in through the country, unvetted, unchecked, and that's not even talking about the gotaways, you know, we should not be shocked. Look, if anything happens, I'm not blaming the Trump DOJ. I'm blaming the Biden DOJ because, you know, how it's, you can't click your fingers and get all these people out of the country at once. And last count I heard, we had 11,000 known terrorists that had made it across the border into our country. But the Justice Department arrested 4 people in connection with an alleged plot to set up bombs in the L.A., Los Angeles area on New Year's Eve. Think about how close we got to this. And this is according to our friend, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and she put this out on Twitter or X. She said that members of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, and she described them as a far-left group, that they plan to conduct a series of bombings against multiple targets in California beginning on New Year's Eve. And there's a criminal complaint alleges the group had acquired bomb-making materials. They went to a remote location in the Mojave Desert to construct and detonate test explosives on December the 12th. FBI agents arrested them before they completed assembling a functional explosive device. The suspects faced charges of conspiracy and possession of a unregistered destructive device, according to Bell Asaley. He's the first assistant U.S. attorney in the Central District of California, and he gave this information out at a news conference. Now, they had an FBI informant and an undercover FBI employee involved in the operation. We may never get more details about that, but I'll bet that's pretty spectacular. The filing alleged that a suspect provided a confidential source with the FBI. I love this stuff. A handwritten document titled Operation Midnight Sun that described the bombing plot. And the filing named the person who said it provided the document that laid out the plan as Audrey Elaine Carroll. Now, that person, Carroll, was arrested along with Zachary Aaron Page, Dante Gaffield, and Tina Lay. And specifically, the plan contemplated planting backpacks with IEDs and simultaneously detonating them at five locations, targeting two U.S. companies at midnight on New Year's Eve 2025 in the Central District of California. I'm sure not many people are going to be around out there, you know, New Year's Eve, sunny California, right? The targeted companies are used or engaged in activities affecting interstate and foreign commerce. And it's cited, anyhow, this is according to the documents that were filed. And then lastly, our prosecutor's office said that in the briefing, law enforcement officials believe that they've arrested everyone involved in the alleged plot. He said that a fifth person who was a member of the group, but not directly involved in the plot, was arrested in Louisiana. So there you go. Any shocks or commentary on this one, guys?
I think it just shows you how dumb people are. I mean, how is a far left terrorist group decided to attack the state of California? That's odd to me, right? I mean, that's like, it's your own followers, so to speak, in half of that state. But yeah, I mean, as much as we want to talk about the upper echelon of the FBI, and a lot of them are still embedded, I mean, it's that agency throughout the years has done a really good job at things like this. I shudder to think what would occur. Local law enforcement, if people don't know this, I don't want to spook you, they don't really have the resources to do these kind of investigations. And so we can thank our federal partners and help us with that. And I would say this, whether you agree with it or not, people forget there was a number two Oklahoma City bomber, number two suspect that rented the U-Haul. We even had a reward out and a description of that subject and a sort of a sketch of that subject. And all of a sudden we forgot about that subject and no one even talks about it. I believe that's probably an FBI informant. And that's why no one talks about that suspect number two anymore. So at least the FBI learned their lesson to stop the bomb before the bomb is made. But I'll just leave it at that.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, I just read a report that it wasn't 11,000, it was 18,000. And it's funny how they all have gringo names. And my problem is, what kind of Islamic terrorists are planning soft targets? I hear that there's a lot of uniforms missing that are police and first responder uniforms. And there could be setups and stuff like that to draw first responders in from a mass casualty event. I'm really afraid for our country. And like Travis said, the local areas are maybe one or two deep. They don't have enough people to fill the positions they have. What's going to happen when we have something like this where there's an ambush scenario, and many other things that could happen, soft targets. We are facing a daunting challenge as a nation to be able to address this threat and to try to eliminate before it happens. To me, yeah, they caught a couple knucklehead people out in California doing a very bad job of planning an attack. But what's happening behind the scenes at some of these Islamic schools and a bunch of other things that we consider no man's land? I'm very concerned.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. There will be more on the topic, but I'm excited about the DOJ doing their job. Not excited about what's coming around the corner down the pike. So if you guys are ready, let's go to our next story. We've got an update story, and we got actually a few interesting ones. LawOfficer.com. You know, Travis, I'm sure you're familiar with this story since it's on Law Officer. You know, former D.C. police chief allegedly, I love the word they use, allegedly, pressured staff to downgrade crimes. I would have loved to have sat in on the interviews with the command staff on that one.
Come on, Chip. I can't afford to get sued by the D.C. Metro chief. It says allegedly.
You have a good attorney then, encouraging you to use that word. So Republican-led House Oversight Committee interim report released on Sunday accuses the former Metropolitan Police Department chief Pamela A. Smith pressuring commanders to lower crime classifications and foster a culture of fear in an effort to reduce the crimes reflected in the city's public-facing statistics. Now, even in my former agency in Tampa, look, I know all about moves to have it appear that stats, you know, to cook the numbers, basically, you know, and there's different ways you can do that. And also it can adversely affect UCR crime reports that the FBI gets involved in. We're going to cover all that in just a second. This is an important story, but I'm glad at least we have some commanders and one that was suspended coming out and talking about this. And I'm glad that this chief is gone now. Stick with us, guys. Our first commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online option, it's like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're even going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've given me a radio code to give to you. It's Radio15. That will get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Again, that's Radio15, good to the end of the month, December the 31st. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're actually going to give one today. I just remembered. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with the new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends at Gauls.com. You guys will be very glad that you did. And now it's time to talk about, you know, our satellite sponsor, that is Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, guys, today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect Nitro Gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. And you can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MITEK. Again, that is compliantechnologies.com/MITEK, because the best defense starts with the right protection. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department, and Jack Nicholas, the CEO of ComplianTechnologies.com, and of course, with the glove. More information coming up about that. You know, we've been talking about the former DC police chief allegedly pressuring staff to downgrade crimes. And I, even with my agency, and I suspect a lot of agencies that are at least medium to medium size or larger have gone through this. So the 22-page report dated December the 14th of 2025 stems from an investigation launched back on August the 25th after reports that the agency, the Metropolitan Police Department, that the officials were manipulating crime data. Investigators conducted 8 transcribed interviews. This is where it gets really interesting. In October, November, and they did this with 7 acting district commanders and 1 suspended commander. And then they anonymized the data so you wouldn't know who the sources were, and to protect them from potential retaliation. And so the report was released days after Smith announced her resignation. And in public, she said that she was stepping down to prioritize family, described leading the agency as the greatest honor of her career. At the center of the committee's allegations is the Metropolitan Police Department's daily crime report. And it's a database that's made public, and it says that it only includes 9 felony categories. And commanders are told the investigators that leadership focused intensely on those specific 9 categories, and that personnel were pressured and at times instructed to reclassify incidents into intermediate offenses that did not happen to fit into those categories that were public record, right? So they were off the chart. The report describes a review and approval process in which commanders said that Smith, the chief, and senior staff, they sought to weigh in on the classifications before the crimes were entered into the MPD's record system. So they wanted input on what was going to happen before it happened. And that consumed time that otherwise could have been used for doing actual police work and doing investigations. And beyond the data concerns, the interim report paints a harsh picture of department leadership under Smith, the former chief, describing repeated public beratings. I'm sure I could, boy, sitting in those staff meetings must have been, you know, brutal. But beratings during mandatory crime briefings and a climate in which commanders felt their jobs would be at risk if the numbers, you know, went up. So so there you go. Travis Yates.
Where did you read that article at, Chip?
That was lawofficer.com.
Well, that's right, because mainstream media didn't report on it because, once again, a conspiracy theory came true. The mainstream media reported on the conspiracy theory that DC was doctoring the books, and now they won't report the fact that they're actually doctoring the books. And listen, if you remember, this is the same chief that when somebody talked to her about the chain of command, she didn't know what that meant. She was a former DEI head in that agency and then became the chief. I didn't understand that, you know, how you – anyway, I digress. But listen, this should be a crime.
Yeah, it is a crime.
And DC Metro is not the only one doing it. This is public tax dollars that – and they're doctoring the metrics that come from the mission of law enforcement. If this was a private industry that's insider training, they'd be in federal prison right now. So we have sort of winked at this for many years in law enforcement, and many people listening to law enforcement knows exactly what I'm talking about with the Comstat numbers and manipulation. Obviously, this is on a national scale, and we know about DC Metro, but there's a lot of people that do this. This should be a criminal offense for any police leader that does this. I don't even know why she's doctoring the stats, Chip. They don't fire police chiefs for high crime. Name me one around the country that gets fired for high crime, because we don't even care about the mission in law enforcement. We care about what somebody says about us and our reputation, and we don't get called a name, and so we just do these TikTok hurdle loops around freaking TikTok videos to try to keep people happy instead of actually dealing with crime. So I wish they would have used their energy, because here's how it works, if people don't know this. We're not going to address crime. We're not going to proactively police to bring crime down to make citizens safer. But people expect crime to go down, so let's lie and manipulate about it. So why don't you just bring crime down? We know how to do it. That's why crime is brought to the lowest in our history in the 90s. We actually enforce the law, the same law that politicians passed, or the same laws that we're called racist for now if we try to enforce it. So let's just get back to the basics and enforce the crime. So I don't even understand why she's doctoring it. She was never going to get fired for high crime. She should have gotten fired. I'm sure she actually did, if we know the true story, allegedly, for doctoring the books and manipulating the crime data.
Well, not only if you're going to find that it probably happens in a lot of places, but it's going to be prevalent in your blue states, in your blue cities. And there's also this motive of, it wasn't just doctoring the crime statistics. It was about changing the ethnicity. They made a lot of the black criminals white. They went back and changed them to white people. And so this has to do with the whole DEI, the changing of the narrative, the destruction from within. I've said this many times and on many podcasts. We have been infiltrated from within with people that absolutely hate this country, hate the republic under which we were founded. They hate God. They hate the people of this country. And they want to see us go to a socialistic, to create enough chaos to go to a socialistic type of government and eventually communism.
Chip, I like this guy. Jeff and I just met, but I think I like him.
I'm glad you guys finally hooked up.
And listen, I just like honesty. Very few people will be honest and tell the truth. We want to hide our eyes of what's happening around us. But when you have major police departments that are doing this to the public and nobody seems to care, I'm glad people are actually being honest about it.
Hey, listen, Chip, the other day you said in your program, we deal with everybody, right? I'm in the law enforcement business. And here I am as a sponsor on your show. And I will tell you, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I'm in business for 1 month or 10 years. If we don't have a country, then we don't have anything. Our country is more important than compliant technology selling a bunch of gloves out there. My biggest fear is that our country is crumbling from within. We're on life support. We're at the precipice and things have to change. You know, I could be political all day long, but this is about our nation and about preserving our republic, preserving the Constitution, where everybody is equal in the eyes of God with the chance of liberty and the pursuit of happiness and with freedom. And that's where we stand primarily. And if there's agencies out there that have that ethos, then we're your company, because we'll lock arms with you. But there's a lot of people that will get this and say, never call this guy again, I guarantee it.
Yeah. Well, it's sad.
It's
sad.
It's the truth.
Well, guys, we're getting close to our next commercial break. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to whet the appetite for the next story, and we'll cover it when we come back from break. And we're going to be talking about a story with a video component. And look, these are great. This one, a suspect in 10 shootings in Detroit ends up being hospitalized after being shot by police.
All right, he's blocked in. He's out on foot. He's running. Nope, he's jumped into another vehicle. He's in another vehicle right now. Nope. All right, he just carjacked somebody.
12 is third here. Pit. Rolled over. He's got a gun. He's got a gun.
After he carjacks a vehicle during the police chase, and then continues to run from the cops. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt axes. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by retired police major Travis Yates. He's a doctor now, retired from the Tulsa Police Department. We've got CEO of Compliant Technologies, Jeff Nicholas, on the show as well. And actually, talking about a really fascinating military career and what Jeff used to fly. That's an interesting conversation you're going to have you guys when you guys talk further. You need to start asking them some questions about some of that stuff, Travis. You'll be like in awe. But going back to where we left off, we were talking about a story with a video component. And look, for people that are maybe new to the show, you don't know how we operate. Look, every show, you get two versions of the show. So our live show is Monday through Friday, the 1 hour live show during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And then we have a produced version of the show that comes out the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Rumble channel. And so that is Tuesday through Saturday, 9 o'clock Eastern time. So every time we talk about a story with a video component, which is what we're getting ready to do right now, we're not able to show you the video in a live show, and too many things can go wrong. Plus, a lot of our listeners are on radio or podcast anyhow, and you don't have the video capability. If you go to our Rumble channel Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning, the previous day's show, It appears, and everything with a video in it, it is embedded into that show. And we even put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. So really, I got to tell you, if I had my pick, that's really the bet. It's not live, so it's a little delayed. If you want to get the news fast and quick, watch the live show. But I'll tell you that the second one that comes out at 9 in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday, that's great, because you don't have to hunt for the videos. You can watch everything right as we're talking about. It's really a great experience, great way to watch a show. So on this story, suspect in 10 shootings in Detroit hospitalized after being shot by police following a carjacking and chase, from our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter at Rumble.com. We're in Detroit, so you don't know, anything can happen in Detroit, right? I mean, the only thing different is maybe if we're over in Dearborn, you know, Travis's favorite destination place for vacations, family vacations. But anyhow, a suspect accused of 9 shootings over the last 10 days is in critical condition after being shot by Detroit police on Friday afternoon following a carjacking and a chase with multiple law enforcement agencies. It's a great story. So according to Detroit police, this guy accused of participating in 10 shootings, including 9 over the last 10 days. He's being surveilled by Detroit police and the feds, ATF. And this is on Friday afternoon. And he leaves his Detroit home, and he's followed by law enforcement. So the guy's a suspect in a non-fatal shooting, as well as the shootings at homes and vehicles. So police say this guy carjacks somebody, and he drives off. We have 3 ATF agents fire shots at the suspect. Now we got Michigan State Police joining in the pursuit because, you know, those guys know how to do the pit. And they actually perform a pit maneuver, probably because the Detroit police have a policy against doing pits, is what I suspect. So we call them the state guys. They do a pit maneuver and they disable a stolen car. The suspect exits the car with the gun, and he ends up being, now there's like a foot chase now. He's confronted by 2 Detroit police officers. They shoot him. He's taken to an area hospital where he's currently in critical condition. Amazingly, because when I'm watching the video, I'm watching this guy dance as he's getting, you know, shot on the ground. You know, I'm surprised he survived. Now, I'm cutting to my show notes, and we have air surveillance at 2 minutes and 53 seconds in, and you already know this guy's wanted for like 10 shootings and stuff. And then we jump to 7:15, where the air unit broadcasts to the suspect. He stopped his vehicle, police move in, but he escapes, and then he carjacks a vehicle at 12:35. And then we jump to 17 minutes and 15 seconds, and he crashes his SUV, bails out on foot with a firearm in his hand. And now we got these guys chasing him in cars, right? And they're driving beside him. And then they kind of corner him. They end up firing shots at 17:55. And then you can't really see a lot because, you know, the body cams are jumping all over the place, but they stabilized the videos where you can clearly see what's going on, him pointing the gun at the cop and shots are fired and stuff. It's pretty incredible. And the fact that the guy survived is even more incredible. Commentary on this. Jeff, you want to start us off on this one?
I'm just really amazed at the level of violence within the nation to just arbitrarily. I mean, this guy had multiple shootings, you know, what was going on in his head and his mind. I think there's a real big problem with the destruction of the family unit, the destruction of our education system, and a lot of other things that lead to this thing. And this guy is just amazing to me. And then he brandishes a weapon knowing he's going to get shot by the police. We have lost our mind, and it's very sad. You know, I feel sorry in a way. I feel sorry for the guy, but also he deserves justice. And you know, I'm kind of at a loss for words, I guess.
I would say this, Chip. This kid, his entire life, very likely, had never been told what he was doing was wrong. And here's how I'll prove that. When was the last time you saw a prominent leader in this country that, you know, comes out and talks about what Jeff just talked about? No, we blame the guns. We blame this. We blame that. But we're never blaming the person doing the violence. I mean, you have LeBron James, the most overrated NBA player in history, that will never talk about this, but he'll talk about what cops do wrong or what somebody else does wrong. We just need people to be honest about it, quit worrying about whatever they're worrying about, because, you know, I do feel bad for the kid too, because I can only imagine the environment he grew up in, the violence he grew up in. And the reason I can say that is because the data tells me that. I mean, yeah, I guess I could be wrong, but I'm not, right? Detroit is, you know, 80% of every black kid in Detroit grows up without a father present. That's the data. You can look that up. And the overwhelming majority of men in prison today grew up with no father present. So nobody wants to talk about these truths. So everybody wants to badmouth the cops at the end of the day when they're having to take this action. But what is going on long before that? And which is what regarding what Jeff said. But the final thing I'll say is I'm embarrassed for the Michigan State Police. They hate those cars. That little bubble on top is ridiculous. And that little emblem on the front of that car is embarrassing. It is 2025. Stop with these cars. Tradition can suck. And it sucks right now if you're a Michigan State trooper. They know it. I know it. They hate their hats. They hate their bubble. And whatever's on the front of their car, I would not commit a crime just because I don't want to see that thing. So I'm hoping they can change that.
But can they pit?
Well, yeah, they can pit because that big giant thing on the front of their car is like a big aim point.
Yeah. I just view it as retro. Retro's kind of back in some ways, right?
No, this will never be back. This never's coming back. That and breakdancing needs to go away forever.
All right.
Breakdancing, I'll agree with. And disco.
If you're listening from Detroit, you guys have it from Dr. Travis Yates. You got to make some changes over there. So.
Hey, it just takes a saw. Just saw those things off. That's all you need to do.
Well, All right, moving along. We've got another story with a video component. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Again, this is Butter. Brandon Davenport is fatally shot while armed with a gun after he attempts to carjack somebody.
Hey, come here, man. Come here. Come here. Use your hands. Get on the ground.
The last location we had.
Hey, come here, man. Come here. Let me see your hands. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. I'm giving you a lawful order, man. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Last chance, man. I'm giving you a lawful order. Get on the ground. Don't reach. Hey.
So another carjacking here. So we're in a parish here. It is the Cato Parish Coroner's Office. They have confirmed the name of the bad guy shot and killed by police in downtown Shreveport. And that is on Sunday, May the 18th. It's Brandon Davenport, 32 years old, relatively young, was shot around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He was taken to the hospital where he died at 2:14. It talks about the family members of Davenport say that he had bipolar disorder and autism. They also said that he had never been in trouble with the law before. So Davenport was shot and killed by police on Sunday, May the 18th in downtown Shreveport. The police were called out after getting calls about someone that was threatening people with a gun. They also say this guy tried to carjack someone before chasing another person while holding a gun. So not a lot of information here. So I got to go back to my show notes on here. So our cops, just at the 30-second mark in the video, they're rolling up on the suspect who had reportedly been threatening people with a gun and tried to carjack somebody previously before chasing someone else with a gun. And so just 11 seconds later, a male police officer can be seen giving commands to the suspect at gunpoint. And then we have a female officer. She arrives in a separate car. And she, I can see Travis covering his face now. So the female officer comes into view. We're looking at this through like a dash cam. So the male officer's out there, got the gun on the bad guy. And it's imperative. You got to remember, again, that this guy threatening people with a gun. And he had tried to carjack somebody. So you know this guy, you have to assume this guy's freaking armed. Female comes, you know, in the view on the dash cam. Passes the cop that's got his gun out on the bad guy. It appears to me, sometimes it's hard to tell with video, but it appears to me that she actually was closer to the bad guy than the cop with the gun, and she's armed with a freaking taser pointing at the suspect. Pretty much as soon as she gets there and does that, our guy, he's already got his right hand in his front waistband. He pulls out a gun, and at the 53-second mark, when he draws the firearm out of his waistband and points it at the officers, that's when shots are fired. They have body cams of the officers as well, shots being fired and stuff. It turns out that it was an airsoft, which doesn't really matter that it wasn't a real gun. And look, you could arguably, even if it's an airsoft, they have a capacity to do great bodily injury as well. It could have gotten shot in the eye or whatever anyhow. So, but it doesn't really matter. We're not required and should not be that to do ballistics to see whether a gun is actually firing or capable or whatever. So, but that said, Travis Yates, you got 50 seconds before our next break.
That's not enough time, but let me get after it. So you have to judge officers based on the totality of circumstances, based on what they know at the time. What do we know at the time? He has a gun. He's carjacked people. And now he's putting his hand in his pocket. This is no place for a taser. This is no place to wait to see the glint of steel, which the Supreme Court has supported. If you want to actually go home and not survive, you better get after it. There's action beats reaction. You can't wait to see a gun pointed at you before you decide to take action. They're very fortunate here. We've got to do this much earlier based on the circumstances, and a taser will get you killed in these circumstances.
Thank you. More of the breakdown on this, guys. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and Gun Learner has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. This is an amazing opportunity, and you can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. And you know, the Law Enforcement Talk Show, we're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, Tulsa Police Department Major, and also Jeff Nicholas, CEO of Complianttechnologies.com with the glove. I love it. And hey, remember, what was that? Who was that comedian, Jim Carrey, the movie where he the had, mask. Oh, it was the claw. That's right. That was the claw. Yeah. It's, you know, reminded me of the glove. Anyhow, we've been talking about, you know, our second video where we have a bad guy. And Jeff, you want to take a stab at this? And then, and I don't know if Travis has any more words on it or not, but we have a bad guy running from the cops and attempted a carjacking. Didn't turn out so well for him, but go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, my only comment was the other day I made a positive comment about the use of that tool. In this case, based upon the information that Travis said, he was brandishing a weapon, he attempted carjacking. If you were going to show up in that position with the less lethal while the other guy had lethal, you should have just walked up and put darts in him right away before he could reach into his pants. Why wait? What were you going to wait for? Him to pull something, the lethal tool, and then the other officer did the right thing. So in this case, I would say that was a bad call. She should have showed up with lethal knowing the situation. But if you're going to have a lethal, non-lethal coverage, maybe it's in her policy, she should have walked up and put darts in him right away without even waiting. Based upon the totality, he kept giving him a lawful order with no action, and he's reaching around and fiddling with his pants. I think they should have just acted right then. But again, you know, 2020 hindsight, not being there in their shoes and the adrenaline and all the other situations, I've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. At the end of the day, the right thing happened.
Yeah, I don't know the training that agency goes through. It's definitely subpar in my opinion. I mean, I've seen enough of the video to know that. Look, they may be training their officers to do this. I certainly hope not. But the officer that had lethal, now he's not only has to worry about himself, he's got to worry about his female backup, who is arguably closer to the bad guy than what he is. He at least had a little bit more distance, but just a bad situation. There are some times where, you know, our training and tactically it dictates that maybe, you know, if you have enough people and you want to have a taser there, and the taser would normally be, you know, in the taser deployment guy would be in front of the person with the lethal, but you have to have, I would like to have two lethals before you have, you know, one, you know, less lethal. And of course, it's not like the glove where it's like, you know, like a non-lethal, right? But you know, they didn't have that. It was just a poor decision and tactic all the way around. There were so many instances where she would have been killed or at least shot and injured. And she's lucky that didn't happen. I don't know if I pray the agency's not teaching them to do that. If they are, they need to go back to training, or that you need to leave the agency before you get hurt. So,
oh, go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say, based upon the fact that he was fidgeting with his right hand, if she were to get closer, she should have been on the right side of the officer, because he would have to bring it all the way around. The lethal guy would have been there already. Again, those are things you can armchair quarterback all day long. And, you know, it's.
I'm telling you, from law enforcement, it's cut and dry. There are some agencies that require look, California and Washington State, they're really pushing the less lethal thing, and they want you to use less lethal options. But when you have a guy that's tried to carjack, and he's been pointing a gun at people, and you show up with a taser, it makes absolutely no sense to me at all. And especially when you have absolutely no cover, and at least she totally left cover. If she would have been on the right side of the male officer, she would have had to have been on the other side of the car. I can't think of a plausible explanation to justify, you know, her actions in doing that. And if the agency is having them do that, then shame on the agency. I just, you know, at being a defensive tactics instructor and teaching all this stuff, it just drives me crazy.
Well, we've seen this big push, Chip, in recent years to put mandatory de-escalation in our policy. But the problem is our definition of de-escalation, because we define it as that no force happens. And so that's why since 2020, every year since, officer assaults have been increasing to last year a record high. And just like the DC Metro story where they manipulate crime data, de-escalation actually increases use of force, because Jeff said it earlier, what are we waiting on? What are we hesitating on? We see these in videos all the time. That hesitation actually creates a higher level of force. That's why his product is so valuable in the glove, because you make a quick decision with less lethal, you're mitigating higher force. So here's how agencies are getting away with continuing to do this. It's not working. They know it's not working. I looked at every use of force case in the last 5 years that's been public domain. I can tell you it's not working. It's increasing use of force. It's increasing officer injury. So what they're doing is they have gone in and they've messed with the use of force data. They now say, oh, now when you put handcuffs on somebody, it's use of force. Now when you touch somebody, it's use of force. So they raise the numbers of use of force to try to show people that their woke agenda is actually working and it actually isn't.
If you unlock your holster, it's a use of force. It's ridiculous.
And that way they could say, see what our de-escalation did? It reduced force. Meanwhile, higher levels of force are at record highs and officer injuries at record highs. And these decisions by these leaders are getting officers killed. And I'm not stopping until everybody knows about it.
Good point. Well, guys, we've got another story coming up, and the source, lawofficer.com, you got to love it. You may not see this in a lot of other sources, but 9,500 truck drivers removed as English checks and licensing audits expand nationwide. And the states are no surprise that are getting the stuff done. But this is from Washington. More than 9,500 commercial drivers have been placed out of service on U.S. roads since late spring as federal officials are ramping up enforcement of longstanding English language proficiency requirements. And they broaden the audits of commercial driver's licenses issued to non-citizens. So we've covered a couple of joint operations between the feds and some local law enforcement, which I love to see. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy pointed to the tunnel as evidence of safety first approach, saying that drivers who cannot demonstrate English proficiency during inspections and traffic stops, that they should not be operating commercial vehicles. He said that roughly 9,500, this amount is staggering. 9,500 truck drivers, just shy of 10,000, they've been pulled off the road nationwide for failing to demonstrate English proficiency. Federal guidance emphasizes that CDLs, or people with commercial driver's licenses, they must be able to read and speak English sufficiently to understand traffic signs and to be able to communicate with officials when they're being inspected. The Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, it says a widely used out-of-service criteria restored noncompliance with the federal English requirement as an out-of-service violation effective June the 25th. So they had gotten away from that. Now they've gotten back to it. At the same time, the crackdown expanded beyond language checks into a broader view of how states are issuing non-domiciled CDLs. And these are licenses that are being held by foreign nationals and who meet what they call federal requirements and are authorized to work in the United States. But they found out that these things have been given out by states like New York and California. Like, I think it was New York giving them out for like 8 years, even if their status expired within 2 years. You know, they were just like giving them out like candy and stuff. So New York and California were the two states that were highlighted to be among the worst. Jeff Nicklaus.
Yeah, this is out of control. First of all, we talk about these licensees, right? I want to see the owners of these companies go to jail for the rest of their life, especially when people die because of negligence. I want to see their companies bankrupted. I want to see them go to jail. I want to see the truck drivers go to jail. I want to see them fined into oblivion, because this is treason. You don't care anything about your country. All you care about is dollars. If you're the trucking company that's hiring these guys that you know they're a safety violation, try that in aviation. Just try it. You wouldn't go past go, right?
Good point.
The thing is, why are we allowing this? Trucks are more dangerous than aircraft. You're within feet of those things in the middle of a highway. Where that California Indian guy in Florida just automatically did a U-turn on the interstate to go through the median, and that van drove right into him. There is no response time. There's no response time. I am very upset about this, because I like to know why the trucking companies are not being called out, why the owners aren't being perp walked because they knowingly did this, and why that company even exists. I hate it.
Well, guys, it's been a great show. Thank you guys so much. Dr. Travis Yates from Tulsa. And also we've got Jeff Nicholas from Comply Technologies. At this point of the show, I usually talk about the Wounded Blue, the woundedblue.org, Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt. Travis, I know you've got your book and you've been doing tours, The Greatest Police Leader. How can people get more information about you and about your book?
Easiest way to do is just go to my main website, travisyates.org. It will branch off to the weekly podcast, weekly articles, and where all the seminars are coming up at.
All right, fantastic. And finally, Jeff Nicholas with the glove. If people want to get more information or see the videos, again, here's your opportunity. ComplyTechnologies.com.
Well, we would love to partner with agencies to help them reduce force, protect their officers, their image, and a lot of taxpayer dollars. ComplyTechnologies.com.
ComplyTechnologies.net. Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, AmedicareLive, SafeGuardRecruiting, TubeBells, and FisherLandoBass.com. Thanks, guys. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.